nobody knows what the future of AI really looks like. But no matter which way it goes, it does seem like we have put ourselves in a position where, if AI fails, the entire economy collapses with it and we lose our jobs, but if AI succeeds, it will only be because it has taken all of our jobs. Whether we like it or not, our immediate economic future is riding on the success or failure of this technology. Just the top companies are on track to spend $400 billion on data center buildouts this year alone, and the entire stock market has clearly been buoyed by investor hype around what this technology could do at some undetermined point in the future. Now, that has done two things in the short term. Trillions of dollars worth of data centers may or may not turn out to be a spectacular waste of money. But, at least for now, they are providing tens of thousands of high-paying jobs to engineers, tradesmen, and technicians all across the country. The same goes for the stock market. These impressive gains may or may not be backed by sustainable fundamentals. But, at least for now, people who have seen their portfolios double in value over the last 3 years are feeling pretty good about treating themselves to a bit of conspicuous consumption, helping to keep the rest of the economy afloat. Now, I know the problem of our entire economy being kept alive by unsustainable capital expenditure and questionable financial gains is not exactly shocking news to anybody anymore. In fact, if you are watching this video, there's a good chance your entire subscription feed hasn't shut up about the AI bubble all year. And in our defense, if this bubble pops, it will probably take the rest of the already shaky economy down with it. This also makes the fact that people are treating it like a foregone conclusion all the more dangerous. But perhaps we have all been missing the more important question, which is, what does a good outcome actually look like at this point? Is there any way that we could still quietly back out of this unscathed?
Google spending tens of billions of dollars to build 3 massive AI data centers. Economists are saying electricity prices are climbing more than twice as fast as inflation is.
Some projections show that spending may be fueling nearly half of this year's estimated GDP growth.
Tech companies just are cutting tens of thousands of jobs, and some of them are blaming AI.
Now they are pivoting capital away from labor and towards AI infrastructure.
Okay, so to really hedge our bets, we need to look at the 3 ways this technology could pan out and what each of them would do to the economy that regular people live in. The optimistic outcome, where artificial intelligence becomes exponentially more capable and comprehensively substitutes human workers in almost every profession. The pessimistic outcome, where technology plateaus and it becomes clear that trillions of dollars worth of data centers were a huge waste of resources. And perhaps the scariest outcome of all, which is a scenario where this technology finds some useful applications, but overall just continues to be a bit meh. So the optimistic outcome is what most of the big AI companies and personalities are pitching to the world. That is, with the exception of Peter Thiel. I am not really sure what he wants.
You would prefer the human race to endure, right? You're hesitating.
Yeah, well.
Anyway, the idea of this scenario is that AI models and the tools they enable get so good that it renders most human work obsolete. And whatever human work is left becomes thousands of times more productive thanks to tools that do the non-creative work for us. Skilled trades are done by highly capable humanoid robots, logistics is fully automated, and even health and elderly services leverage mechanical muscles and mechanical minds to care for an aging population with a smaller group of actual doctors watching over everything. Eventually, the only jobs left will be those that need human creativity, assuming we can't automate that too. If you have always wanted to design your own video game, you won't need a full development team. You could just vibe code your way through production with AI tools, creating something that used to take thousands of real man hours. Yes, I know a lot of you actual developers or skilled artisans are rolling your eyes right now. But remember, this is the dream scenario the AI companies are selling. And to play devil's advocate, it's kind of already happening. Even if you completely ignore the current focus on generative AI and robotics, there are hundreds of technologies that have already done the same thing. To use the example of making your own game again, there are modern development platforms and tools that have made it far easier for a single person to put together a pretty good game even working out of their bedroom. The same thing has happened across almost every industry in our economy. It's the reason why our labor productivity gets better and better almost every year, meaning for every hour that we work, we are producing more value. The optimistic view of new AI technology is that it will accelerate this trend so much that just a few hours of human labor, mostly to oversee the work of the machines, will produce enough value to give us a lifestyle we couldn't even dream of today. So yeah, even if we lose our 9-to-5 jobs, it won't really matter because there will be so much stuff getting made that only a minuscule amount of hours will need to be traded in return for everything you could ever need. In fact, for a lot of people, it could be so minimal that it's not really worth having any kind of formal employment at all. Everybody from Sam Altman to Jerome Powell has said the same thing about AI improving productivity, although admittedly with differing degrees of optimism. And the thing is, the idea itself isn't inherently wrong. But there is a small problem. Worker productivity has already increased by a lot for a number of reasons, including technology. But for at least 50 years, almost none of that increase has resulted in higher compensation for regular workers. So then, why would this time be any different? Well, the big AI players actually do have some answers to this obvious question, but these talking points need to be considered alongside some logical ironies that would almost be funny if they weren't so important. So it's time to learn how money works to find out if there is any way for AI to develop that actually ends up well for regular people who are along for the ride. This week's video is sponsored by Brilliant, the platform that helps you unlock the problem solver you already are. Brilliant transforms the way you understand math and computer science with visual, interactive problem solving that actually makes concepts click and helps you build real confidence as a thinker. One thing I love is how personalized everything feels. Brilliant finds the right starting point and adapts as you learn. Lately, I've been going through their Thinking in Python course, but I've also been exploring their algorithmic thinking lessons. They're super visual, and they show you how to break problems down step by step in a way that just makes sense. Those hands-on challenges lead to these great little aha moments, and it's genuinely motivating to see yourself working through problems that used to feel out of reach. This year, they've added a ton of new content, plus new features like personalized practice sets and end-of-level reviews so you always know when you're ready to move on. To start learning for free, go to brilliant.org/howmoneyworks, scan the QR code on screen, or click the link in the description. You'll also get 20% off an annual premium subscription for unlimited daily access. Okay, so the widening productivity compensation gap is one of the most hotly debated issues in all of economics because everybody has something different they would like to blame it on. Some people will say that migration has flooded the labor market with people who are willing to accept lower wages for the same job. Some people point to women entering the workforce, which also increased the total supply of workers. Some people point to outsourcing high labor industries like manufacturing or technologies like computer systems that made the same amount of clerical work possible with a far smaller team. Then, of course, other people will say it is because labor unions were crippled in the early 1980s, which made it harder for workers to negotiate collectively and turn the jobs market into every man for themselves. Now, the reality is that it was probably a little bit of everything, because they all effectively did the same thing. Businesses got access to a greater supply of labor than they demanded, and without any negotiating power, that pushed labor prices down. AI is really just another technology that will mean businesses demand fewer employees to perform the same operations, and something that reduces negotiating power as well. A report published by the executive outplacement firm Challenger Gray in Christmas tracks layoff announcements and categorizes them by type. This year, outside of federal worker layoffs from DOGE, the number one reason cited for layoffs was a cost-cutting shift towards AI. In total, since the firm started tracking this category of layoffs in 2023, more than 150,000 job losses have been directly attributed to this technology. Now, I know what you're about to say. Yes, a lot of companies are just claiming that they are doing layoffs because of AI, when really, they just want an investor-friendly way of saying that they are cutting costs. But that's actually exactly the point. Even without the ultra-optimistic tools that could be made possible by this technology, it's already becoming a great negotiating tool against workers pushing the gap further apart rather than closing it. So this is where we get onto the narrative of living in a world of such material abundance that the idea of money becomes completely irrelevant. It's a nice idea, but there are a few problems. As I was putting this video together, a group of researchers from OpenAI very publicly resigned because they said that the company's economic studies were slowly being pushed into outright AI advocacy. If they found something that would present a future of AI in a negative light, they would just bury it and broaden the scope of their research until the results looked good. One of them was quoted saying, "The economic research team was veering away from doing real research and instead acting like its employer's propaganda arm." Now, this is just the word of one man, but he probably gave up a pretty big payday to get the message out, and it does align with other reports coming out of the organization. The technically separate organization Open Research conducted one of the biggest universal basic income experiments ever on low-income households. The results were mixed, at best, but the headline press releases were overly positive about how great an AI-powered UBI future will be for everybody. Now, maybe it shouldn't be shocking that research coming out of a company with a very clear motivation to push mass AI adoption would be a little bit biased, but the ironies do go deeper than that. Remember when OpenAI was a nonprofit and the founders didn't care about making money off it? Well, according to reports from Reuters, it is now gearing up to go public in a move that could net the CEO as much as $10 billion. Now, if only he still had any economists left on his team, they could tell him that all of that money will be meaningless in the coming AI utopia. Alright, joking aside though, it's pretty clear that even if this technology meets the expectations of even the most ambitious techno-optimists, there are very few systems in place to ensure that the increased productivity from AI actually benefits regular people. It's a lot of techno-pseudo-economic jargon to try and gloss over what you probably already know, which is that if the people that own these tools can make a lot of money off not needing to pay workers anymore, they are going to try their very best to do it. But that was the optimistic outcome. The most immediate fear that a lot of people have right now is that the hype around this technology will die off and bring down the entire economy with it. Again, as I was putting this video together, the jobs report for November was published after October was skipped due to the government shutdown. Overall, unemployment rose to 4.6% with an additional 4.1% of people in part-time or gig work who would prefer to be working full-time. This is the highest it has been since 2021, and it's clearly trending upwards. This is also before revisions, which have consistently been downwards for every report so far this year. It's not great, but the numbers have been helped a lot by three standout categories. The first two were healthcare and social services, primarily to look after an aging and ailing population. The third category was construction, specifically specialized non-residential construction, or in plain English, all of those data centers. This was something that the BLS explicitly highlighted in its March report and has only become more relevant as the rate of data center buildouts accelerates and other government infrastructure projects are scaled back. Now, eventually this will be a problem because, theoretically, we are going to slow down on building these data centers at some point before we turn our entire solar system into a Matryoshka brain.
So there's still like a lot of things. Like, I would love to go build a Dyson sphere on the solar system and like, you know, make the world's gigantic data center with the entire energy output of the sun. But obviously we can't do that right now, so that one has to like wait a couple decades.
Okay, my mistake. Well, at least for the next few decades, I guess. Anyway, the total employment up and down the supply chain for these buildouts is very hard to precisely calculate, but it is in the hundreds of thousands according to most industry estimates. A lot of this construction is also taking place in remote rural areas where these companies have been able to lobby for favorable local tax and regulatory treatments. Now, that whole game is a separate problem that I know that the old team over at Micro is actually making a video on, so I am not going to steal their thunder on exactly how messed up this can all get. But the point is, as it relates to employment, a lot of on-the-site workers doing this construction are only in these locations while buildouts are happening. That's very stimulating to the local economy for the 2 years it takes to get these facilities online. But if it slows down nationwide, it could have broader employment impacts beyond just the workers directly in the supply chain. Now, in the short term, even if this technology never becomes commercially viable, it could be written off as tech companies using the piles of cash they have accumulated to fund their own jobs program for a couple of years. It would be like if the wealthy old man from up the road paid you and your friends $1 million to dig a giant hole in his backyard. Would there have been a better way to use those resources? Probably. But it wouldn't cause any other ongoing problems, right? Well, it might actually, and we will get to that. But right now, the concern is about the existing problems it is covering up. $400 billion in capital expenditure this year alone is a pretty big economic stimulus. Nationwide, according to data from Bloomberg and Renaissance Macro, company spending on AI is now contributing more to GDP growth than consumer spending. That money is ultimately flowing from the big bank accounts of big tech firms and investment funds into the hands of thousands of businesses, suppliers, and workers. In fact, if we just look at the numbers alone, then in terms of money being pumped into an otherwise unhealthy economy, this is almost exactly the same as the combined stimulus and troubled asset relief program spending from 2008 to 2009 to stabilize the economy after the GFC. Now, of course, these payments are not as direct. And for now, the good news is that most of this money is still coming from cash reserves these companies already had, with borrowing mostly being used for cash flow purposes. But it should still give you a sense of scale as to how much economic activity is being generated on the contingency that AI hype continues. If that gets taken away very suddenly, it could quickly reveal how shaky everything else was under the surface. Then, of course, there is the wealth effect of people watching the green line go up. A lot of retirees and independently wealthy households have seen their investment portfolios almost double over just the last 5 years, which means that they have been a lot happier to spend conspicuously. This spending may be very uneven, but in theory at least, someone renovating their vacation home or buying a fifth sports car is at least giving money to contractors or a commission to a car salesman. a lot of people living off their investments actually have a set drawdown rate of about 3 to 4% for their everyday spending. You might have heard about the 4% rule for early retirement, and this rule prescribes that you don't spend more than 4% of the value of your invested assets every year so that you don't eat into your principal wealth. Now, if your portfolio doubles in value over 5 years, that means you can do twice as much spending without changing your 4% rule. Now, a lot of wealthier households are not this mathematically rigid, but the wealth effect happens subconsciously as well. My good friend Ben Felix has done a series of great videos on this subject, as well as a video he made last week analyzing the current risks in our very concentrated investment market. So if you're interested in a detailed breakdown of these ideas, I will leave a link to them below. If people see the value of their homes double, even though it's difficult to actually access those funds, they are still going to be more likely to get themselves to do something like a big remodel. Now, so far, this has actually helped to keep things ticking along. But it's also no secret that a lot of these companies might be a teensy bit overvalued. The only market worth disrupting after burning this much capital is the labor market. Even a small slice out of the $12 trillion worth of annual payroll could recoup these costs pretty quickly. But without that, investors are only going to have so much patience. Even then, it's not exactly this straightforward. One of the biggest ironies in this push to automate jobs is that the tech bros are trying to automate jobs that barely make any money in the first place. Uber drivers subsidize the wear, tear, and depreciation of their cars, and the taxpayer frequently subsidizes warehouse workers with food stamps. The financial reality behind taking these kinds of jobs with expensive technology is questionable at best. And if too many people start asking those questions, that could be a problem. If these values are reconsidered in a major way, then both infrastructure spending and investment-fueled household spending would fall simultaneously, seriously hurting employment. We have always wanted Green Line to go up, but never before has so much real employment depended on it. If this technology does turn out to be everything investors are hoping for, it's going to take our jobs. And if it becomes clear it can't do that, it will very likely crash a very frothy and concentrated market. And we are going to lose our jobs. It sounds pretty bad, right? Well, there is actually a third option. It's almost become the assumption that this will all end spectacularly, but there isn't actually any guarantee of that. For now, the companies involved have more than enough cash between them to cover outside debt. And even if less liquid players like OpenAI can't meet their record-setting spending obligations with companies like Oracle, the recourse to actually collect on those payments isn't very strong. Nobody wants to sue the next person along from them in the financial circle, jerk.
I'm so happy that my lawyers have something to do. I'm so happy that I get to sue how money works and show them how the legal system works.
Well, almost nobody, I suppose. Anyway, to keep their own market stable, the most likely thing to happen is that these companies just take equity in exchange for compute time or quietly renegotiate commitments behind the scenes and just stretch them out over longer periods of time. So, even if advancements continue to slow down, this could plod along for a lot longer than you might expect. But in the long term, this kind of scenario could actually be an equally damaging outcome. Consistent investment into AI above anything else is going to starve other hopeful technologies of getting the funding they need for development. The joke about putting AI in the name of the company to get investment is true, but a lot of companies do it because they need that investment to develop their product. An anecdotal example I saw while putting this video together was the startup Boom Supersonic. It has been raising money for the past decade to develop a modern supersonic passenger jet aircraft. Now, maybe you think faster air travel is a worthy technology to pursue. Maybe you don't. But that doesn't really matter. The point is that this month they came out with a new product, which was basically taking one of their jet engines and attaching it to a generator, which they were pitching as a new and innovative way to power data centers. Now, this of course is just one example. But startups trying to develop new technologies are all being forced to play some version of the same game to keep funding going. On a larger scale, there has been a big push towards reshoring manufacturing. This may very well be a noble goal with strategic value, but it's also made much harder by rising energy costs and electrical grids that need to support factories as well as data centers. Right now, the data centers can just afford to pay more, which means factories and regular households have to suffer the financial consequences. The same kind of financial crowding out is happening in a lot of markets already. The reason you are going to need to sell a kidney to afford 2 gigs of RAM is because the entire production base is being redirected towards serving this one industry. Going all in on one hand may or may not pay off, but it also means we don't have any chips left to take better bets if and when they come along. Now go and watch this video next if you are still, understandably, not totally convinced this is one giant bubble. And don't forget to like and subscribe to keep on learning how money works.